have a lot in common. Obviously, I like to say that 90% of the time, we are exactly there together. We know we are exactly on the same page. But that other 10% of the time, we could not be more different. And one of the ways that we see this sometimes is anytime we go somewhere where there's a big crowd, you know, so maybe a big football game or a parade or a fair. I look around at all the people and all the excitement, and I think, oh, look, new friends everywhere, people to talk to, things to see. Jake, not so much. He, you know, kind of grumbles along and gets grumpy because someone stepped on his toes or bumped into him. So a crowd is one of those places where our differences are really, really obvious. And crowds actually get a lot of play in the Gospels, too. You know, if Jesus is the main character, the crowd is the ever-present supporting cast. They get lots and lots of airtime, almost as much as Jesus, because they're basically always following him around. They're kind of a first century paparazzi, you know, this crowd of people always wandering around looking to see something interesting or scandalous that the celebrity might do. But I can't really blame the crowds around Jesus either. I mean, this seemingly ordinary Jew from Nazareth says he's the Son of God and goes around saying crazy things and teaching really controversial stuff like, you've heard it said, hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemy. And of course, there are the healings and the exorcisms and the prophecies and his incessant camaraderie with untouchables and outcasts and women. And controversy is good publicity. People like controversy. So it's not hard to see why Jesus might acquire a crowd. It kind of reminds me of the movie Forrest Gump. You know, if you haven't seen it, the main character, Forrest, he's just a guy who one day decides he's going to run. So he puts on his sneakers and he runs and he's running and he's running clear across the country. And of course, the people are kind of confused and intrigued. But some people put on their own sneakers and just start running with him without any idea where he's going or why he was even running in the first place. I wonder if maybe Jesus kind of felt like Forrest Gump sometimes. So I'm not trying to insult the intelligence of the crowd by saying they're just the wandering, uninformed masses, but they do sometimes appear to be kind of a nuisance, you know, kind of constantly moved by the whims of the moment. One minute they're praising Jesus, and then the next they're throwing him off a cliff. You know, then they're amazed, and then they're scared, and then they're hungry. So you can never really know what they're going to say or do or think, but you can rest assured that if Jesus is there, there's a really good chance that a crowd is somewhere around too, just waiting to see the crazy thing that Jesus is going to do next. So these crowds around Jesus get a lot of attention, but in today's story from Luke, there are actually two crowds. There's the crowd with Jesus, but there's also the crowd surrounding this woman, this widow who's lost her son. And this crowd is a crowd of her people. This is her Sunday school class, or her UMW sisters, or her friends from senior circle. This isn't a crowd who's just come because they want to see a spectacle. These people probably watched this woman's son grow up. They cared for her after her husband died. This crowd loves her. These are her people. This crowd has a group of men carrying a shrouded body on a plank and professional mourners who would have been hired to weep and wail so that the woman wouldn't feel embarrassed or isolated in her misery. This is a crowd from the small town of Nain, some of whom are literally carrying the weight of this dead body on their shoulders. And then others who are wailing and shouting and sharing in this mother's pain. They're publicly grieving something tragic. It's a very different crowd from the one following Jesus around. And unlike the crowd that's following Jesus looking for a miracle, this crowd isn't expecting a miracle at all. This crowd isn't here to see something controversial or witness something scandalous. No, this crowd is here just to mourn. This crowd probably doesn't even want to be here, because who wants to attend something like this? It hurts even to think about it. So this crowd has come expecting only sadness. Now, I've speculated a lot about this crowd alongside the woman, but the truth is, we don't really know anything about them. Did they recognize Jesus when they saw him? What kind of people were they? Maybe they had never even heard of the UMW or Senior Circle. Maybe they weren't good church-going folks. Were they even Jewish? And how did that young man die anyhow? Was he up to something? Interestingly, Luke doesn't seem to think that's very important. But then again, neither does Jesus. Jesus doesn't pull the woman aside first and try to get the details of what really happened to this young man. He doesn't ask for her papers to see if she's really a citizen of Nain. He doesn't try to make a plan for how she might pay him back if he does her a favor. Nope. He just looks at this woman accompanied by this group of men carrying her son's body and the crowd wailing alongside her. And he has compassion for her. Unquestioning compassion. There are two crowds in this story. The crowd following Jesus and the crowd crying with a hurting widow. Which crowd is Plank Chapel? Which crowd are you in? Haha, you might be thinking, that's a trick question. Because in what is perhaps Jesus' most scandalous act yet, he works a miracle for both crowds to witness. That day, both crowds met Jesus. The occasion of this woman's grieving is an occasion for following Jesus and solidarity in suffering to become one. We can no longer decide between the two or consider ourselves part of one crowd and not part of the other. No, following Jesus means we will take on one another's hardships. We can say with confidence that if we are looking for Jesus, we'll find him with those who are suffering. In Jesus, following and suffering become one. Suffering with our brothers and sisters is following Jesus. Now, when I say suffering, I mean suffering. This crowd wasn't just watching this woman suffer. They weren't raising awareness or telling their friends how awful that must be. No, no, they were taking part in it. They were carrying the weight of it. They wailed and they cried. Someone loses a job, we all have to look at our budget. If someone has a bad harvest, we have to share our okra. If someone loses a son, we hurt. This was a story that began with two crowds. The one with Jesus and the one with the woman. But this story ends with just one. Fear seized all of them, and they all glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us. God has looked favorably upon his people." Now the two crowds have both been changed, and they've become one crowd. And this one crowd is no longer suffering. They're praising. Because praising is what people who've met Jesus